Lord, that is our declaration. We declare fear has to go. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have not been given a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have been given a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You've not been given a spirit of fear, but you have been given a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Make this your declaration of faith. Say, I'm a child of God. I've been given a spirit, the spirit of God. He's a spirit of power. He's a spirit of love. He's a spirit of a sound mind. It's no longer me who lives, but he lives in me. His power, his love, his soundness of mind. I can do all things because he lives in me. He can do it through me. I yield to you, Lord. Have your way in me. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, praise God. Well, we've had a good service already. Just God doing some stuff, hopefully speaking to your hearts. Just blessed seeing little Hayden. You know, it's cool just how we have the ability, the power of life and death is in the tongue, and the ability to on purpose and intentionally invoke blessing. And it's really cool being on this side of it, just really sensing the power and the grace of God going into that little man of God and seeing what he's going to do. And again, just this morning, as far as the word kind of in your ears, out your mouth, be encouraged. You know, a lot of times, you know, the scripture talks about people, you can be ever learning and never understanding. That's not the way it is with God. You get some things in you and you get revelation. You see some things and you know some things. And the Apostle Paul, he said, we've believed, therefore we have spoken. And there is something about speaking what you're hearing that causes an owning of it and an accountability and a commitment to it and the release of the power. So be encouraged this morning. Many, many times, it's not just a new little word or missing link or thing. You've got so much in you. Just begin to declare what you know and just enjoy and watch the power of God, you know, rise up on your behalf. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead this morning. We're going to flow into the word this morning and just make sure I'm there. We go. Okay, cool. So we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24. Hebrew writer says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." Think about that. Let your mind go there. You have come to Mount Zion. You've come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Wow. You know, the Apostle Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven. The Hebrews writer here, whether you believe it's Paul or whoever, also states that we're registered in heaven. The general assembly in the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. You could say the Lamb's book of life. This is big, what we have done when we've made Jesus Christ Lord of our life. We've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks. We've come to the blood. These are things that we've come to. Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the General Assembly, to the judge, to Jesus. And we've come to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. We've come to the blood. We've come, amongst other amazing things, we've come to a blood, the blood. The blood of sprinkling, and that blood speaks things. It speaks better things than that of Abel. It's important to realize, you know, a lot of us know the basic theology. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, died on that cross for everything we ever did wrong, paid the price for our sin. So thank God we can be born again. We can become children of God. It's important, though, to stop and just realize that this isn't theoretical. This isn't, you know, a concept that we're considering, but that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago was actually on this planet, 2,000 years ago to this moment. The Word was flesh here, and He died on that cross, and He shed real physical blood, and to this day, 2,000 years later, this physical earth is marked and stained with the blood that Jesus spilled on this physical planet. There was blood shed. You can't cause matter to cease to exist. It can change form, but it's here. That blood fell on this earth. It marked this earth with our Lord Jesus Christ's blood, physical blood. And when we surrender to the cross, when we take Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we say, that blood was shed for me. I received that. And when I did that, I came unto some things. Mount Zion, the General Assembly, came unto Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. But I also came unto that blood, and that blood speaks things. It speaks better things than that of Abel. Remember, Abel was the guy whose brother Cain murdered him, you know, and Abel's blood was crying out for vengeance. But Jesus' blood speaks better things for us. And this morning, we're just going to take a look at some of those things the blood speaks. You've got things that speak over you, people that maybe speak over you, maybe not speaking really great things over you. We know we all have an enemy, an adversary, who goes about as a roaring lion who's speaking horrible things over us. The accuser of the brethren speaking things over us. Speaking. So there's a lot of what the scripture calls voices in the world. There's a lot of things that pass through our mind because there are a lot of voices in the world. A lot of things speaking a lot of things, whether it's people or demonic activity or maybe your past. You remember stuff and your past starts speaking to you and your body can start speaking to you and different things like that. But there's a lot of things that can start speaking. But we've come unto a blood that speaks over our life. And this blood speaks some very specific, clear things. And sometimes it's just good to get reoriented and think, okay, I've come to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things. Lord, what are those things? What are you speaking? What is that precious blood that fell to this earth 2,000 years ago? What is it speaking to me? That's what we want to look at this morning. And so we're simply entitling the message this morning, The Blood of Christ Speaks. All right, and we're just going to look at a few things that the blood specifically speaks and declares over your life. And these aren't, you know, these, we're going to look at the Word, right? I mean, we're preaching the Word this morning. If it's not the Word, you know, there's a lot of things even the world will say that sound really happy and hopeful and optimistic and all that stuff, but there's no authority in it. When the blood speaks, there's authority behind what it speaks that's based on the Word of God. And so you may hear and see, and maybe some of these things that are spoken are things you've heard before, but listen, because that blood, the Scripture says, is speaking. And as you open your ears spiritually, you can hear it speaking to you. It's one thing on a Sunday morning to hear a preacher tell you that God loves you. It's another thing for you to hear the blood speak that to your own heart. I love you. And that's what I'm believing for this morning. We're all going to hear the blood speak to our hearts, speaking better things, the blood of Christ. These are just some things that we see from the Word of God that the blood of Christ speaks. Number one, it speaks, you are valuable to God. Again, this isn't cliche. It's not catchphrase. It's not just, tomorrow will be another better. No, these are authoritative things. The Spirit of God is declaring and speaking. So don't confuse this with kind of worldly, you know, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and doggone it, people like me. Kind of a, you know, pseudo junk, all right? I'm talking about real authority. Let this go in you. Allow yourself to go there. You are valuable to God. The blood speaks that. How do we know the blood speaks that? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Wow, that's such a powerful, this is such a great verse that helps to bring me to a place of surrender. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Well, great, what was the price that I was bought with? 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19, knowing that you were not redeemed or purchased with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But you were purchased with the precious, this is amplified, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. Purchased. Purchased with blood. In other words, and I love how he starts out, Peter, in verse 18, you aren't redeemed with corruptible things. I mean, we make a big deal of the silver and gold down here. I think of it, we usually, as a family, will watch traditionally the old It's a Wonderful Life movie. It's just kind of part of our classic Christmas tradition, and I always get a kick out of that that scene where, you know, George Bailey gets introduced for the first time to his angel, Clarence, and he says something to the effect of, "Well, you don't happen to have, you know, 8,000 bucks on you, do you?" And he goes, "Oh, no, we don't use, you know, money up there." He goes, "Well, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub, let me tell you." And we're kind of oriented that way, you know. It's kind of this attitude, you know. So this is the world we live in, and so that is esteemed. Gold and silver is esteemed. But here you see it and thrown in the context of corruptible, gold and silver. Almost just, you know, not really, you don't see the proper esteem for gold and silver in this verse. You aren't redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver from your aimless conduct, but with the precious blood of Christ. So you have gold and silver, which again, the world we live in so highly esteems, is in a category of corruptibility. And then you've got the separate total category. It's not even close. The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, you are worth what somebody is willing to pay for you. And one of the things that the blood of Christ speaks to us is the fact that you are valuable to God. This isn't just a pastor trying to prop you up on a Sunday morning. This is what the Scripture says. You were purchased with the precious blood of Christ. In fact, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me." The reason why there was no other way is because your value was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it cost. He bought you with a price, and the price tag was the precious blood of Christ. I love to tell the story of the kid with the little boat who lost it. He saw it in a pawn shop. He wanted his boat back. It was $1. He went home, gathered all the coins that he had, plopped it on there, got his $1, got his little boat back, and he hugged it. And he said, "Now you're twice mine. First, because I made you," he made it with his hands, "and now because I bought you." That little boat cost him $1 to get it out of the pawn shop. Well, there was a price tag around our necks when we fell for fallen man, but it wasn't $1. It wasn't $1 trillion. That would have been nominal to God. He couldn't bail you out with dollars. It was a debt that required a precious blood. It shows value. Value is what somebody is willing to pay for you. I know one of the things that, man, growing up, we kind of had this tradition in our home, and Julie and I still like to do it. We watch this show, I don't know if it's PBS or somebody does it. It's the Antiques Roadshow. And they kind of go from town to town, and they have these old little treasures that people bought at a thrift sale, or they bought, you know, maybe it got handed down through their family. And so you've got this trinket or artwork or whatever that thing is, and it doesn't a lot of times look like that much. It might even just kind of be something famous, a baseball card or an autograph, something. It can be a lot of different things. And then what you've got is you got the appraiser who's going to look at it and put the good artistic eye on it and then produce a value. And what they'll say is this. They'll say, at auction, it would get so many dollars. In other words, they're saying the value of this trinket item is going to be whatever somebody's going to be willing to pay for it. What's it going for these days? And so you've got that. And of course, we'd love to game it, you know, at home. And so we'd take our best guess. And of course, you know, the one who's closest to the real one gets the artistic bragging rights for about 5 minutes until the next thing comes up. And you just kind of go from item to item and just trying to figure out what these things are worth. You know, sometimes they're just astoundingly amounts of money. Sometimes it's not much. But what you find, and this is just the value of redeeming, of purchasing. Something is worth what somebody's willing to pay for it, what it costs. So when we look at our lives, you know, there's an enemy who just floods this world with roars of depression and doom and gloom and darkness, but the fact is you are created in the image of Almighty God. There is something about you that is so amazing and unique that you have the capacity to walk and talk and have fellowship with the Almighty Creator of the world. There's something about you that makes you incredibly valuable to God, that he sent Jesus. And so we look at that price, and it's an amazing thing. Now, I kind of know that. I know the math of that. And probably one of the other things that we really love about the Antiques Roadshow is not just what the value turns out to be, but we also love to look at the owner of the article to see their reaction to the value of what that thing is. That's kind of the other cool thing. You want to see how are they going to respond to this thing. And there was one that came on the other week or 2 weeks ago, and it was this guy, and turned out to be a picture where his dad, I think, was used as the hand in the picture, and the artist drew this picture, and he gave it to the dad because he used him in the picture, and he brought it down to his son. So it was this precious thing to his son, I think it was. But anyway, they began to talk about the price, and it was a, you know, a good artist quality. I can't remember the exact price, but I think it was somewhere in the ballpark of like, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 for this picture. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty decent price. But what was precious was this man's reaction. I mean, when he heard that, like $10,000 to $15,000, he grabbed his chest and was just choked up and was crying. And it wasn't even because of the dollar. It was something that was precious. It involved his parent. But it was precious, it had monetary value, and he said he was just so touched and blessed by how precious and valuable this thing was. You know, and to see that reaction, to see that appreciation, to see the dots connect. There was a, you know, in the life of Jesus, there was one day when Jesus went to a Pharisee's house named Simon. And as he was there, just, I guess, having lunch, hanging out, doing whatever, there was a lady who came to that luncheon, and she was a known sinner in the area. And she just immediately began to weep and to cry, and she had some perfume with her, and she was just washing Jesus' feet. And Simon looked at this, and he thought to himself, you know, if this Jesus was a true prophet, he would know who it is that's touching her. And he would be able to discern that she's a sinner. He's thinking this to himself. And so right at that point, Jesus said, Simon, I have a word for you. Go ahead, teacher. I want to hear it, he answered. It's a story about two men who were deeply in debt. One owed the bank $100,000. The other only owed $10,000. When it was obvious that neither of them would be able to repay their debts, the kind banker graciously wrote off the debts and forgave them all that they owed. Tell me, Simon, which of the two debtors would be the most thankful? Which one would love the banker most? Simon answered, I suppose it would be the one with the greatest debt forgiven. You're right, Jesus agreed. Then he spoke to Simon about the woman still weeping at his feet. Don't you see this woman kneeling here? She is doing for me what you didn't bother to think to do. When I entered your home as your guest, you didn't think about offering me water to wash the dust off my feet. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and then dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with the customary kiss of greeting. But from the moment I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't take the time to anoint my head with fragrant oil, but she has anointed my head and feet with the finest perfume. She has been forgiven of all her many sins. This is why she has shown me such extravagant love. But those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little. Then Jesus said to the woman at his feet, "All your sins are forgiven." All the dinner guests said among themselves, "Who is this who can even forgive sins?" Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace." When I think of this point, when I think of you're valuable to God, what he's worth, the worth and the value that he's placed on you, sometimes your appreciation for it, kind of like that, you know, we're kind of looking at two things, an antique's roadshow, what is it worth and what's the reaction to what they're going to worth? This little story kind of makes me pause and go, Ed, at auction, you go for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And what's my reaction to that? I love that woman's reaction. You know, sometimes you'll see people, and maybe they seem gregarious, and they seem out there, and they really just seem happy, and they're just like, oh, and you kind of think, oh, brother, that's a little over the top. Well, you don't know their appreciation for what they've been forgiven. You can't judge things. I've thought that, and then I've learned some things, and it's like, wow, praise God. It makes perfectly good sense. I'll tell you what, I want to have an appreciation. I want to have an appreciation for my auction value. I want to see that value. You know, that's one of the great things about when you're your first love. When for the first time you hear it, he loves you, and that's what you're worth to him, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's one of those things that, man, I get stirred up, and I say, thank you, Lord. I am valuable to you. There are things, there may be voices speaking things over me, but I'm getting reorientated. I've come to a blood that speaks, this is what you're worth. And it doesn't just stop here and now, but we're going to see in Revelation, and they sang a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Ah, that's an amazing thought. I mean, we have an appreciation for it right now, but I'll tell you what, when your spirit leaves your body, and you experience life outside of a mortal body, you experience a conscious being that's intact with an ability to see, to know, and to look your Lord in the eye, to experience his love, and to realize that, thank you, Lord, you've redeemed me into this existence. I didn't earn it. It was not by works of righteousness that I've done, but that blood has brought me here. And when I see I'm in a place of glory, and I see that I am loved, and I am seeing him in a safe place, and I see people that I know and I love, so many levels, I'm saying, worthy is the Lamb who is slain, who's redeemed me to God by his blood. That will never get old. None of us would ever need to have the attitude that, I haven't been forgiven much. We've all been forgiven much. We've been redeemed from a mortal existence to an immortal existence. We've come to a general assembly of the Church of the Living God. It's a big deal. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus because that's what it cost. That's what you're worth. Anything less would not have been enough. It's important for us to remind ourselves that one of the things that blood speaks is it speaks your worth to God. You were redeemed by his blood. You are loved by God. There's a distinction here. That was the price he paid. The scripture goes on in Romans, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him." Praise God. One more scripture. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." What are we talking? We're talking about a love. Not only, you know, it's one thing to make the payment, all right? He delivered me from the power of darkness. He delivered me from the pain of sin, but it wasn't just that. He delivered me so that he could love me. You know, when we think of the original Genesis account of the garden, we see a beautiful paradise, man and God. I mean, it's an astounding thought. God would create something, bring it to the man, and whatever the man named it, that was its name. I mean, just got a concept here. That really speaks of a certain quality of man and God hanging, walking in the cool of the day. That's really amazing. That's what we lost. That's what we lost with sin. Well, the payment part brought us back to the garden. Thank God we got access back into the garden because our sins were paid. But now we're back in the garden. We're back in the family. In other words, there is now a supernatural interaction I can have here and now with God because I've got a blood to enter the holiest. I have a boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you what, this is one of the greatest, most freeing truths. Are you trying to work through stuff and work out things and, you know, get things? I'll tell you, that's good. There's healing. There's process to healing. I get it. I know it. I know it firsthand. But I'll tell you what, there's also some in this game. There are some wild cards of the blood that I declare, that I speak, and I have access by the blood. Do you understand? Whether I've had a good day or a bad day, whether I've said everything right, done everything right, there's always access by the blood in the middle of anything. No matter where you're at as a child of God, you have boldness by the blood to enter the holiest of all. You can even know in your own heart there is stuff you're working through. You're trying to get right. There's things you don't know the answer to. It doesn't matter. I've got access by the blood. The blood speaks better things. One of the things that blood speaks, God loves you. There is a 24/7 access to intimate garden walk and talk, fellowship, hangout time with God. Thank you, Lord. The blood. Sometimes you can just say that to yourself. Maybe you're in a fog. You can just say the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. There's a lot of times the enemy will fight you over things. He'll get into your head. He'll play mind games. And you begin to declare the blood of Jesus. That blood speaks. That blood speaks on your behalf. You begin to declare the blood of Jesus Christ. It reminds you in the core of your being you got access. That blood is speaking on your behalf. And it's speaking boldness. Come. You don't have to have anything figured out. Just get here. Come by the blood. It's a humbling reminder that it's nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that allows me to draw near with a true heart in full assurance. That's the power of the blood. Heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Why can my heart be sprinkled from an evil conscience? Because the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, and he has the ability to cleanse your conscience from those dead works to serve the living God. There's nothing that's plaguing your conscience that keeps you out of the garden that the blood can't cleanse. He cleanses your conscience from those dead works to serve the living God. And there's something about that, because you kind of get in this little merry-go-round sometimes of, am I serious to God? Okay, I'm really serious this time. I'm really authentic. I'm really passionate. I'm really this. And you can begin to play emotional mind games and all that stuff, and you can get off on a religious tangent and find yourself trying to be really spiritual, trying to be sincere, but you lose something, the power of the blood. There's something about the blood. It's not about me trying to look humble or look sincere or look the real deal. I don't care about that. That's all really derivatives of pride. You know, whether you realize it or not, when you just come back to the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, there's a spirit of a sound mind that helps me to think right again. Not because I thought worked, no, because I'm humbling myself because of the blood of Jesus. And there is a power that comes through the precious blood of Jesus that starts with ground zero. Here we go. This is all because he first loved me. And that's what the blood does. It brings us back there. That's why we take communion regularly. We take it with a frequency because it brings us back to the blood. It brings us back to why we love him in the first place, what he's done for us. That blood has the ability, the power to cleanse. This is an old camp song we used to sing, saying, I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I'm covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and he lives in me. Oh, what a joy it is to know my heavenly Father loves me, so he gives to me my Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. And you use the big word like righteousness that has that cleansing effect that completely, you know, puts me in that right standing with God. Why? It's because of the blood. It's because of the blood. And there is something about going back to the blood and listening to what the blood says. It's amazing how in my mind, I don't know why this is, but in my mind how I can argue with a lot of things. But when it comes to the blood, there's nothing to argue with. There's just something to look at and go, wow, that blood was shed. And it's speaking right now on your behalf. Praise God. It humbles your heart. It brings you back to the beginning. To his love for you. Thank God. It just cleanses you. It's like, wow, I've missed this place. Ah, yeah. Not worked up about trying to be spiritual. Just the sweet blood of Jesus, precious blood of Jesus Christ. That just cleanses me all over again. And just thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There's a little story. This is I don't know if you ever heard of Robert Bruce of Scotland. Leading his men into a battle to gain independence from England. Near the end of the conflict, the English wanted to capture Bruce to keep him from assuming his position as the next in line for the Scottish crown. So they put out his own bloodhounds on his trail, and when they got close, Bruce could hear them baying loudly. His attendant said, "We're done for. They're on your trail, and they will reveal your hiding place." Bruce replied, "It's all right." Then he headed for a stream that flowed through the forest. He plunged in, waded upstream a short distance. When he came out on the other bank, he was in the depths of the forest. Within minutes, the hounds, tracing their master's steps, came back to the bank, but they went no further. The English soldiers urged them on, but the trail was broken. The trail was broken. The stream had carried the scent away. A short time later, the crown of Scotland rested on the head of Robert Bruce. The memory of our sins, prodded on by Satan, can be like those baying dogs. But a stream flows, red with the blood of God's own Son. By grace through faith, we are safe. No sin hound can touch us. The trail is broken by the precious blood of Christ. Man, I'll tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ either cleanses or it doesn't. It does. And that's the basis of our entire hope and faith, because it does cleanse. It cleanses from all unrighteousness. And regardless of what or who what, God, you are cleansed in the eyes of God. That trail is broken. That blood is speaking that over you. He loves you. He's for you. And nothing, nothing can separate you from that love. Finally, that blood speaks something else too. It speaks commitment. God is committed to you. In other words, this isn't a one-time gesture. It's not a one-time kindness, all right? When he sees you, it's not a one-time donation. It's an eternal subscription that he is committed to you. This blood speaks commitment. I love here, this is kind of taken from our communion service. When he, Jesus, took the cup, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. They all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. He said to them again, verse 24, "This is my blood, the new covenant. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." In other words, what he's saying here by the shedding of this blood is he is opening up a covenant. When we think of covenant, there's a few things you can think of in terms of covenant. You can think of a business contract as a covenant. Marriage covenant. These are some of the big ones that we think of. But really, this is more in the line of that marriage covenant. In other words, he's saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, marriage, commitment, which is shed for many." So he's saying this is bigger than just a single act of the forgiveness of sins. He's saying we have a covenant relationship. I'm in this for the long term. Now, when you say covenant, you can think, well, that's good. You know, a lot of times in a marriage ceremony, you'll have vows within a marriage ceremony, you know, that are connected to that covenant. Things where two imperfect human beings are trying to and making their goal to love one another according to these standards, according to these vows, according to these commitments. God, in his covenant with us, sets up covenant not in terms, similar to like a vow, but what he puts it in this way is it's in the form of promises. 2 Peter puts it this way, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life." This is a lifelong subscription. "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue, by which," and this is the knowledge he's talking about, "by which knowledge have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises," or you could say vows, "that through these promises, these commitments, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." We've been talking a lot about promises and kind of the promise of Jesus and the promise of his coming and even the promise of his second coming, which is even more promise. That's one of the great things that we take heart in regarding Christmas. God makes promises and he keeps his promise. He's made 8 times more promises about the second coming. And we know that he's a promise-keeping God who's going to keep that promise too. But in between Christmas and in between the promise of his coming, there are promises in the here and now that pertain to our life and to godliness now. So we got the promises, just the whole spectrum of promises. That's covenant, all right? That's why when we hold up our Bible and we quote verses and we hold Bible promises, what are we talking about? We're talking about covenant. We're talking about God's promises, supernatural promises to us through the Word of God that he's given us. And so we hold up these words. We hold up these promises. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul didn't say that to the Philippians because they were Philippians. Paul said that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit because they were Christians who had the power of God living in them. We have the power of God living in us too. Those words transcend that time. And they are words that we can lift up. And in the face of demonic attack like Jesus, we can say, "It is written. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. It is written, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Why? Because that blood speaks covenant. It speaks promise. It speaks commitment to us. Peter puts it this way. This is just a passion derivative of verse 4. It says, "As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world." In other words, these promises, you know, it's one thing to know the Spirit of God lives in you, right? Praise God for that. But there's something about these promises that causes a partnership with that power. It's almost like we were talking about this morning with that word, hearing and speaking. Hearing the word, speaking the word. There's a partnership there. You're hearing the word of God, and as you're speaking the word of God, the Spirit of God rises up on the inside of you. Those promises have the ability to connect me, Ed House, with the power of God that's in me. The promises do that. It creates a partnership where I'm walking and I'm talking, like kind of like the garden again. And I'm able to walk with God by His promises. What is it? It's commitment. In other words, God's committed to you. He's committed to all things that pertain to your life and godliness now. It's a now commitment through those precious promises. When I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God night and day has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony, that word coming out by the power of the blood of the Lamb. I'll tell you what, we can all rise up in the power of the blood of the Lamb. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in that blood. There is an authority in that blood. Praise God. God is committed to you. This is just an excerpt from a song that came out, man, probably 20, 25 years ago now. But one of those songs that just has kind of stuck with me and resonated. It's an old song by Carmen called "The Blood." It just says, "And then they pounded a spike through the bones in his wrists." This is talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. "Bursting arteries and veins. And as they dropped the cross in the hole they dug, his body convulsed with pain. Through an agony and torment that never a soul shall find, he tilts his face toward heaven with full control of his mind. With more love than any human heard before that time or since, he made a statement to this day that makes the strongest skeptic wince. He cried, 'Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And as he gave his life for those lost in sin, he was saying, 'This blood is for you. And this blood can save a soul, heal the sick, mend the heart. This blood can give you access to the very throne of God. And it still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you. If you're lost and alone and your mind is confused, this blood is for you. If you feel like you have been hurt and abused, this blood is for you. The atoning, cleansing blood of the Lamb. The blood can save a soul, heal the sick, mend the heart, give you access to the very throne of God. It still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you. The blood of the Lamb." Praise God. That blood is for us. That blood speaks. We've come to a blood. When you've come to Jesus, you come to a blood that is actively speaking over your life. Ah, and this is where I like to come to. And remember, no matter how I may have messed it up or where I'm at, I'll tell you what, something doesn't change. That blood is just one of those fixed points. That's like the rock that is higher than I. It's blood. And it's a blood that's speaking. And we just need to come back sometimes and listen on purpose and hear what that blood is speaking to our hearts. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that it was shed for us, that no matter where we're at, that precious blood ministers. It speaks over our hearts, over our lives. We are valuable to God. Satan is a liar. Man is not a being that should be depressed and feel worthless. That's a lie. Man was created in God's very own image. Oh, what is man that you're mindful of him? He's a man who was created by you to love you, to have fellowship with you, to walk and talk with you in the cool of the day. That's who man is. We are valuable to you, Lord. We recognize our price at auction is because that's what we're worth. Corruptible gold and silver isn't enough. There is no corruptible gold and silver that defines our value. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We see it. We thank you for it, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're loved by you. That not only have you bought us into this place, but we have access. Oh, we're covered with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, what a joy it is to know our Heavenly Father loves us. So he gives to us our Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for that access. Thank you that that trail has been broken. There is nothing hounding us right now. That blood cleanses, conscience clear, to express our hearts freely. That no matter where we're at, there's always a way back through the blood. We have boldness and access through that new and living way by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Lord. You're committed to us. We receive it. We thank you, Lord. You are the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We could walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There you are, rod and staff, comforting us. Thank you, Lord. You're committed to us. We hear what your blood is speaking to our hearts. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.